defending your freedom every single day.
On the Car Arms Platinum Microphone from the GunBroker.com studios.
This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios on this Car Arms Platinum Microphone lit up for you today. It's the day after garbage day. That means it's Thursday. What does that mean if you're a new listener? Wednesday at my house at AAR Ranch is garbage day. And from time to time, I see garbage stories. We like to take out the trash on Wednesdays. We did a little bit of that yesterday with Dave Workman, and we had Joe, you know, we talked a little bit about Biden and all the garbage going on there. So that, in fact, filled up this week's garbage day. So next week, Wednesday, we'll do garbage day again, and I'm sure we'll find some more interesting stuff to talk about. Today, somebody you're going to be hearing a lot more of in the near future. How do I know that? Well, because I know a guy, Brad Primo, Lead Slinger's Whiskey. Brad, how you doing, brother?
Doing great, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. So there's a couple things I got a lot of things I want to cover with you, but let's start with Milwaukee. And I want to give you my take on it, and then I want to get your perspective, okay? Mm-hmm. We have a situation where there were seven people shot. I guess he offed himself in Milwaukee. Still trying to get some news. That story was breaking yesterday while this program was airing. So that's not something I like to talk about, really, even for a day or two until we know what's happening. True?
Correct. Not a bad way to be.
It's a safe bet. Unlike what we get with Pelosi and some of the gun grabbers, they're out there calling for more gun control before bodies. They don't even know where the shooter is, and they're calling for gun control. We've seen this time after time, right?
That's exactly it.
All right. So what we had apparently was we had a workplace shooting where we had a disgruntled employee, from what I understand, who went into his place of business, made a decision to murder people, and that's where he chose to let out his aggressions. Brad, I do not feel in any way, shape, or form that I should be paraded around as a guest on radio programs, which is inevitably going to happen. A lot of people are going to reach out and want to talk to me about Milwaukee and the latest mass shooting. The guns in my safe and the law-abiding 150-plus million Americans that own guns have absolutely nothing to do with this. This is an isolated incident. Now, somebody's going to say, it's not isolated. It happens all the time. Each one of them is an isolated incident where one kook, one lunatic, goes off and decides to kill people, and somehow I have to feel like I have to defend my right to bear arms because political, expedient Democrats or socialists decide they want to make it a political issue in gun control, and I've got to go. So help me here a little bit. You understand where I'm coming from here?
Absolutely. It's been going on for a while now, and it's very frustrating. I can definitely relate to where you're coming from.
So I don't want to waste a lot of time with that. Suffice to say this, yet again, another gun-free zone. I've seen the photograph of the building with the no-gun sign in front of it. The individuals who made that a gun-free zone, in my book, have blood on their hands. Go ahead.
So, and I know that here in Tennessee, we have a law in the books that if you prohibit, I don't think it applies for employees and employers, but for example, if you own a store and you tell people you can't carry a firearm in here, you are now financially responsible for the well-being of your customers and the people on your property. And so if something were to happen, they're the victim of a crime and they were not carrying a pistol when they normally would be, you're on the hook. And I think, if we're going to allow, people to, if we're going to allow, gun-free zones to exist, then fine. But you're going to have to be responsible for the people that are now under your care, in my opinion.
Well, and that's true. And that's the way it should be. If you're going to deprive somebody of their God-given right to defend themselves and their life and the lives of their families, then you should be held accountable because you are, in fact, responsible in large measure for their death had they had the means and had to leave it out in the truck or leave it at home because for whatever reason, and I'm in 100% agreement. Now, our friend Nikki Gosar from Tennessee was instrumental in changing a lot of laws in the state that you reside in, and I'm going to go to Tennessee in just a minute because your governor's making some news today, too, that we want to talk about. And I think I think it's great. So you know where we're talking, but you sent me a text earlier this morning that said some big changes coming. So as far as the Milwaukee shooting is concerned, here's the way you leave something like that. It's an absolute tragedy. I don't have to defend my right to bear arms against the actions of some idiot. My constitutional rights and the guns in my safe and in the safes of over 100-plus million people had absolutely nothing to do with that. If you want to try to make it an issue in gun control, we'll tear your argument apart. But short of that, it's really a waste of time because I feel like we fall into the trap that the gun grabbers are setting for us. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, so let's break it down. I mean, what they're doing essentially is kind of indicting all gun owners for the actions of a few. So when they want to talk about gun control and say, well, you know, this is why we need universal background checks. Right. This is why, you know, we need this, that, or the other. You know, they're trying to set policy based on isolated events and emotion. And what they're basically saying is that, you know, legal gun owners are actually at fault in some shape, form, or fashion, and they need to be regulated. I think that, you know, we do need to be vocal about that aspect of, hey, you know, you can't blame us. You know, you can't basically try to indict an entire group for the action of one person.
Right.
But at the same time, I am with you in the sense that it's kind of ridiculous that we have to, you know, defend ourselves every time this happens. I mean, you know, they essentially are dancing in the blood of the victims because it's now a bat they can use to go after us with. It's a waste of time, and you know, they're just going to continue to take cheap shots at us anyway.
You know, that's perfect place to take you here. There's a headline out of USA Today, and it's quite fascinating. Hours before Molson Coors shooting, Wisconsin lawmakers said state's gun laws won't change. And I'm going to quote a little bit of this. The city of Milwaukee is in mourning, and I want you to listen to the perspective, listener, as Brad and I talk about this, that the USA Today is framing. This is a perfect example of the progressive socialist media controlling a narrative in their favor, and you can clearly see their bias. Take a listen. The city of Milwaukee is in mourning after a brewery employee fatally shot five people at the city's Molson Coors campus before killing himself Wednesday in one of the worst mass shootings in Wisconsin history. Mayor Tom Barrett called it the saddest day in the 165-year history of the iconic Miller Valley, where a massive red Miller sign towers over a sprawling complex that includes one of the nation's largest breweries, packaging, and distribution centers. Hours before the rampage, Democratic governor, notice how they had to say Democratic governor, Tony Evers, called on lawmakers to take up legislation aimed at keeping guns away from people who are dangerous. You know what that means, Brad? That means
red flags.
Universal background checks, all the garbage we know never works, period. But listen to the way they're framing this. It made it clear in response, State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, Republican, made it clear that Wisconsin's gun laws would not change under a Republican-controlled legislature. We're going to have that discussion about the Second Amendment forever. A lot of the provisions that are in place already, people are satisfied with. A short time after, a 51-year-old man entered the factory with two handguns firing on employees, the community is left grieving. As if they had said, yes, we're going to change the gun laws today, that man wouldn't have walked in. The framing of this narrative in this USA Today story is absolutely outrageous. Did you catch that?
I did, and actually, I was actually looking at this article earlier, and if you scroll down a bit further, they also point out that one of his pistols had a suppressor. And so now it looks like they're trying to make that an issue as well, as if somehow a suppressor made this whole thing more lethal, I guess, which is also ridiculous.
I find it hard to believe, and maybe I'm wrong here, I find it hard to believe that in the 165-year history of that town that nothing bad has ever happened. I'm not saying that that's the case. I don't know. Okay. Killing five people, this guy, well, when you make a decision to murder your coworkers, all right.
Mm-hmm.
What gets worse than that? You've already decided there is no law I'm going to follow. I'm going to go into my place of business and I'm going to off as many people as I can before I blow my own head off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about in realistic terms. Okay. So yeah, just the way the entire piece is phrased from the top to bottom, if you read through it, listener, do yourself a favor, read through this piece. Hours before Molson Coors shooting, Wisconsin lawmakers said state's gun laws won't change. The headline alone, Brad, I love to look at these headlines. Mm-hmm. If you just don't go any farther, that headline alone says, well, if they had said they were going to change, you know, then this probably could have been averted. And we all know
that
even if they were changed, hours before, it wouldn't have averted anything, would it?
No, I don't understand the mindset of we can make a law and somehow make everything better. You know, when you have like you touched on, when you're already so far gone that you are intent on taking a firearm somewhere and murdering people while they're at their job.
Yeah, there's no law.
There's no law that's going to stop that. There's no reasoning with that. I mean, you know, it's pure emotion. It makes people feel better because they think they're doing something, but all they're doing is just essentially just going to punish people who had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and you know, we'll go to a break with this. Not only will a law stop them after they've made that decision, no law in place would have made him not consider it. Take that right. One. Think about that through the break, listener. I'll be back with Brad Primo from Lead Slingers right after this. Don't go away.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slingers Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slingers Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
The This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios. On the Carr Arms Platinum microphone, I'm talking with my good friend Brad Primo from Ledslinger's Whiskey, CEO, combat vet, and founder of that great company. You guys are growing like a weed, Brad. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. It's been a lot of hard work, and I met a lot of really good people along the way, so pretty excited about what we're doing.
I'm going to be with you at National Rifle Association meetings coming up towards the middle end of April, right? You're right there in Nashville where the meetings are going to be held, so we'll have some fun there. And then about a month later, well, I don't know. What are the dates? Do you have the dates of the Memphis in May, Andy?
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick. Actually, I probably ought to have them memorized.
Well,
me too.
I was talking about it the other day, and I said I didn't have them, and I should. So while you do that, I'll go ahead and set up this next segment. Listeners, this is always a lot of fun when I do segments like this because Brad and I have not discussed this topic that we're going to talk about. He has no idea. He knows I'm going to talk about do guns and drinks mix at home. And there's an Ohio case being heard right now, but he doesn't know where this is going to go. And that's what I love about this spontaneity is great. We're going to get really instant reaction from Brad while we're doing this in real time. So here's the question. Having a few too many drinks at home shouldn't make handling one's own firearm illegal, according to an Ohio man challenging his arrest on a charge of possessing a weapon while intoxicated. Brad, he was at home. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've been at home doing nothing or doing anything or having a drink with friends or playing checkers or watching movies with my kids. I don't recall deputies coming and going, hey, is everything okay in this house?
Right.
So how does a guy even get arrested in his own home, right? How does that happen? Well, obviously somebody called the law. So the Ohio Supreme Court heard arguments in the case on Tuesday, just 2 days ago, with a decision not expected for several weeks. The defendant's name is Fred Weber. He said the 2018 arrest was unconstitutional because he was in his own home and the weapon he was handling was unloaded. So here's the gist of it. He was in the house. Apparently, he was extremely intoxicated. He had a shotgun, which was unloaded, and his wife called authorities who came into his home, right? I can probably tell where you're going to go. This is going to be interesting. You're probably thinking like I am. They came into his home. She called the cops. They came into the home, and they arrested him. He was charged with handling a weapon. We had a possession of a weapon while he was highly intoxicated. And, Brad, my initial response was an unloaded gun in his home, nobody harmed. This guy's got to have a conversation with his wife. She's the one that's where this came from. He needs to have a conversation with his wife. Now, was he walking around? Now, listener, hear me here. We're being realistic here. This is the way we have to approach this because that's what happened. The wife called. So I'm going to guess, Brad, that you would probably agree with me that there's probably other issues going on in that home in order for that call to be made to begin with, correct?
Yeah. 100%. That was my first thought was, okay, the police didn't just show up for no reason. So like what else was going on around the house while this guy was apparently hammered and handling a shotgun?
Yeah. And there's a lot of different questions here. His argument is I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was not violating any law inside the confines of my home. The gun wasn't even loaded, and I wasn't making any threatening moves or behavior. Well, apparently his wife felt that he did. So let's ask this question. Did the wife do the prudent thing? Not having been there, we don't know, but did the wife do the prudent thing?
I mean, depending on what was going on, I mean, if he's menacing her with a firearm, then absolutely, you got to take care of yourself. If he was just merely intoxicated and doing whatever he was doing with unloaded, shotgun at the kitchen table or whatever he's doing with it, I feel like there's something we don't know about this.
Yes.
In the sense of, again, like I said, if he was being threatening with it, I mean, whether he's drunk or not, like you threaten someone with a firearm that's against the law in most places. And you know, it's okay to involve, you know, law enforcement if you need to. But yeah, he does need to have a talk with his wife. I have a feeling that maybe the domestic situation there may not be
right.
Blissful.
Yeah, I think you're correct about that, because if these two really truly got along and she knew, mm-hmm. you know, this individual, then maybe that's not abnormal behavior mm-hmm. for him. Mm-hmm. Okay, to want it. Maybe right. he's got a $2,300 Beretta shotgun he loves, and he just likes looking at it. And it's unloaded, yeah. and he's drunk, and he's just, you know, he's set, like you said, at the kitchen table, and maybe he's just polishing it with a rag. She knows. Mm-hmm. She knows. There's no reason to call the law. So there's something right. going on behind the scenes here in this yeah. that prompted yeah. her to do that. So I would say more than likely, because this is his wife of a long time, she was mm-hmm. probably absolutely justified in making yeah. that call and probably was concerned. I mean, I would imagine mm-hmm. that we could deduce that, right?
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about my time, you know, in law enforcement here in Tennessee. I mean, I could be mistaken, but I don't believe that he would be liable legally for possessing a weapon while intoxicated because he's not in public. But you could definitely, if there's like some sort of, you know, like I said, menacing with a firearm, now you're looking at like a domestic assault type situation. So other laws would kick in. At least in my experience.
What's interesting,
I'll say this, Mark. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
I mean, we've talked about this, you know, a few times, especially like when I came down to see you in Georgia about, you know, it is, you know, it's one thing to go to the range with your buddies or come back from hunting or something like that, and you want to have some whiskey or a couple of beers or something. But you have to be smart and you have to be prudent when there's firearms and alcohol in close proximity to each other.
Of course. And that's exactly where we're going with this. This guy, clearly there's something else here that, mm-hmm. you know, when the cops got there, they said he was highly intoxicated. His whole argument is based, first of all, if you're highly intoxicated, let us give you some really great advice on Armed American Radio. Mm-hmm. Stay away from your guns. Okay. Yeah. You can do that for a little while, all right? If you can't, that's called responsibility, all right? You've mm-hmm. got to be responsibility. With great responsibility comes great responsibility. My gosh, mm-hmm. come on, man. Anyway, that's just solid, prudent advice. But, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to follow how to see how this turns out, because that's not his argument. His argument is whether one is drunk or sober should have nothing to do with the right to possess a firearm in the hearth and home. And as a result, the law is a violation of the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Would he be in violation of the law if he had to grab that firearm and use it to defend his hearth and home during a home invasion? I would generally tell you the answer to that would be absolutely not. He would be well within his rights, whether he was drunk or not, to do that. But it's an interesting case, and it's going all the way to the Ohio Supreme Court, so we're going to keep our eyes on it. When we come back, got a whole bunch of different directions. I want to go with Mr. Brad Primo, I'll get that out, I promise. Here on the Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios on this Car Arms Platinum microphone. You still have time right now to go to NorthAmericanArms.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, get the phone number and call them, tell them you want a free hat, and get on the list for the gun giveaway. You have until tomorrow at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. I'll be back right after this with Brad. Don't go away. Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com. The second half of Armed American Radio's podcast today is being sponsored by TakeAShotFirearms.com. Reviews you can trust, shots you don't want to miss. That's their great slogan. Reviews on firearms and optics with other products to come. Great odds on winning popular firearms and accessories. Fun product reviews and new opportunities to win with the best odds around. When you do win, Take a Shot Firearms will ship to the FFL of your choice for free. Buy any gun from Take a Shot Firearms webinars outright from them directly at below MSRP. They ship for free. We support startup companies and the companies that support Armed American Radio here on this program. I hope you do as well. TakeAShotFirearms.com. Back to the podcast. Enjoy the second half.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, the GunBroker.com studios on this car arms microphone. All the cool buttons and dials and things have lit up in here in the studio today. I love it. The microphone is, in fact, lit up and ready to rock and roll. I'm talking with Brad Primo from Lead Slingers, founder and CEO. Brad, welcome back inside the studio with me, man. Always a pleasure to have you.
Yep, great to be here, Mark.
Yeah, we're going to hear more from you. I know a guy, you know, so I know we're going to hear more about you and more from you later. And fun stuff I'm looking forward to, let's say this. You're going to be at the National Rifle Association meetings, right?
That's correct.
I want to set up a time with you to meet over at the Second Amendment Foundation booth. Listener, if you're going to be at the NRA meetings in April, I'll be there the 18th, I think it's the 16th through the 19th, flying back early on Sunday, Brad. I'll be there Friday and Saturday with Alan Gottlieb, as you know, at the Second Amendment Foundation booth. Dave Workman will be popping in and out. Tom Gresham will be popping in and out. You'll be there. So maybe we can set a time up, listeners, that you can come by and meet Brad, myself, Alan, all together at that booth, along with Dave Workman and others. So we'll worry about that, Brad, and we'll figure out those times, you know, outside the radio program, and we'll let listeners know. And then, of course, we're going to be together in Memphis in May. Did you find that date by any chance?
I did. It runs May 13th through 16th.
Oh, perfect. That's right after my birthday. That's going to be fun. All right.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance. I have off air, but I haven't had a chance to ask you on air yet about that debacle clown posse show again that we saw that the Democrats want to call a debate. It was a joke. What were your thoughts on that? Because guns came up quickly. Biden made sure to do that.
Sure. I mean, I don't want to laugh, but I got to laugh.
Like I feel you.
It's just watching the party just implode. It seems like, you have Bloomberg, jumping in late and throwing all kinds of money around. Not really sure how much effect it's having, but it's kind of thrown the whole dynamic of the Democrat Party. Like it's in disarray now because you have him throwing all his money around. And then, the other night he might have been some sort of a slip of the tongue or whatever. He basically says that he bought, right, what was it, 21 seats?
40.
Yeah, 40. Like,
40.
So, I mean, this guy, like, is this one, he's not a good candidate just because of personality, I think. But then he's, like, just makes the entire party look bad while he's at it. It's almost like, I don't know if he's doing it on purpose. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, that's a good question. I think he is doing it on purpose because he's spending so much money on these ads that are saying the same thing. So there's purpose to that. I'm in Georgia. He has targeted my state, among others, and I can tell you from reactions from people that I've spoken to around the state, both left and right, that the spots aren't having any effect, virtually none at all. Now, it will with the Moms Demand Action crowd base, but that's to be expected, just like Trump ads are going to have an effect with the Trump base, right?
Right. So, those folks were always going to be in that corner anyway, whether they run an ad or not.
Yeah, but that's not swaying anybody.
No.
And look, Georgians don't want some New York billionaire coming down here and saying what we can and can't have. And I can tell you that will cross the aisle, that sentiment. There are lots of Democrats who own guns down here, not just for hunting, but carry their firearms every day, just like you and I do. So, yeah, that's not going to fly down here. And I don't care how much money he spends. Biden, on the other hand, is just a flat-out joke. The 150 million. Now, let's give Biden a pass. Let's say that he meant 150,000. Okay, let's just say he meant that. I'll tell you where I have a real problem is that none of the moderators, even calling these people moderators is a joke, but none of the moderators on the panel asked him to correct himself. Certainly, they had to know that 150 million would equal half the population of America.
Right.
But none of them said, Mr. Biden, you just said 150 million Americans have been killed by quote unquote gun violence since 2007. Are you sure about that? Did you make a mistake? Did you mean 150,000? Do you want to clarify that number? And if not, where did you get that figure, sir? But they don't do that, leaving the idiot portion of the masses left to hear this completely unchallenged, Brad. And that's dangerous, isn't it?
It is. And, I think Joe Biden has a history of saying, I don't know how to put it, like just kind of boneheaded thing, right? I mean, Anvil Joe, right? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's just been a part of who he is for as long as I've known who Joe Biden is. But it is telling that no one said, hey, time out a second, Joe, I think you made a mistake. You know, $150 right. million doesn't make sense. But this is kind of becoming, you know, not just, okay, a standard Joe Biden, you know, probably talking off, you know, off the top of his head and saying something dumb. Like, there's now, like, a pattern since he's been in this race where it seems like he is not really cognitively with it. And to me, I feel like just looking at him, he looks kind of frail. He looks like he's aged quite a bit.
He does.
His mental facilities seem like they're, I mean, I'm no doctor. I don't know the guy personally. I don't get the feeling that he has what it takes to be the president, just from a mental capacity standpoint. I'm not sure that he even wanted to be in the race in the first place. I you know, if we had to get down to it, I feel like he probably got drafted because
interesting.
Think about the clown show they had going on before he jumped in.
Yeah, it was bad.
Cory Booker, Kamala Harris,
Swalwell, you know, in there at the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Swalwell, Warren. I mean, like just absolute clowns. Some of them are still around, but it was even worse. And so they had to get somebody in the race that would be palatable to, you know, the Rust Belt states, palatable to the Southern states. And Joe Biden, you know, was probably that guy, or at least what I thought was that guy. But man, like he is.
Maybe 12 years ago, maybe 16 years ago, when Biden was at his peak, he was, he was always appeared as that nice guy. Yeah, I'm with you on Biden, and I think the rest of America is too. There is no way Biden carries the center, you know, of the center of the country. It's not going to happen. And with this radical, I mean, eyes demonic look with his eyebrows risen, screaming and pointing with the pen about taking on gun manufacturers and taking them down and beating the NRA. This is not earning him any points between the coasts.
He's never beaten the NRA. And this is the same guy that was advocating, telling his wife, if you think someone's breaking the house, go on the back porch with a shotgun and start firing shots in the air.
Buy a shotgun.
That'll scare him off, you know? So you're advocating, like, just patently dangerous behavior. Like, you're just going to start sending, you know, buckshot or slugs out in the, you know, God knows where for it to come down, God knows where, and possibly hurt somebody? You know? And he's talking about gun safety?
Yeah, gun safety. Well, that's an interesting, you know, gun safety. That's the whole, that whole mantra of gun safety. It's nothing to do with gun safety. You know, I was listening to, I think it was on Tucker last night, Colin Knorr was on with Tucker, and he made some really good points about some of the very things that we talk about here. But in one case, it was, you know, we know where crime and the vast majority of homicides are committed. We know where they are geographically. We know where they're located around the country. And these supposed gun safety advocates are not in these places doing anything about saving lives. Because, as Colleen pointed out yesterday, this isn't about crime. As I've said, God, how many gazillion times. This is about controlling you, and that begs that question, and I'll ask you, you got 40 seconds. What is it about their agenda that requires them to disarm you? You got 40 seconds. Go ahead.
I mean, it's forced collectivization is probably the ultimate goal. I mean, they can't get at your money, your assets, effectively, if you have the means to defend them. If you look, I mean, that's what their plan is. Bernie Sanders, I mean, he
said it
outright, pretty much wants to steal.
Yeah, you're right. It's about control. It has nothing to do with crime. And Colleen was 100% correct. Mm-hmm. I cheered him yesterday. It was a great point. And that's what we talk about on Armed American Radio on a regular basis. When we come back, we're going to go to Tennessee. There's some good things happening in Tennessee, and that's where Brad happens to be. He sent me a text message today that said, great things happening in Tennessee. Looks like constitutional carry might be on your agenda for this legislative session, thanks to your governor. Gotta love that. Wish we were talking about that here in Georgia. Back after this.
Car, the the 25th Anniversary K9 and the Venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Carr Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on a nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With a simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, segment four already, my gosh, in the GunBroker.com studios on this Carr Arms microphone. Let me give a shout out to all of my sponsors. Of course, I'm talking with Brad Primo from Lead Slinger's Whiskey. Second Amendment Foundation, you can come meet me and Brad at the Second Amendment Foundation booth in Tennessee, in Nashville, at the National Rifle Association meetings coming up on April 18th. I'll be there April 18th and 19th, or 17th and 18th at the booth. But it's that weekend. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. I may be off by a date. I do apologize. Too many dates coming at me. But Brad will set up a time, and we'll tell you, listener, when you can swing by and meet me and Brad and Alan and have some fun. Dave Workman will probably be there. Gresham can pop in and out. It's a lot of fun at that Second Amendment Foundation booth. Crossbreed Holsters, My Pillow, Car Arms, of course. This is the Car Arms microphone. Lots coming up with Car. We'll tell you about that in the near future. And, of course, this is the GunBroker.com studios. Cost you absolutely nothing. We're getting ready to do some more GunBroker.com range bag giveaways in conjunction with Emerson Knives, who you hear on the programs every single day as well. Bursa, I've gotten some great feedback from you. I got two emails today. Both of them went off to Bursa that you guys are beating me to the punch. Brad Primo, my next gun is going to be that Bursa 380 Thunder, and I haven't yet gotten around to buying it, and I'm already getting listeners telling me, I beat you to the punch. I just bought mine. Did you get yours? And I didn't yet, but I'm going to very, very soon. And, of course, DefenderCoffee.com. You can support the Second Amendment every time you take a sip of coffee. I'm going to be honest with you. Earlier in the day, I had a little bit too much. I got a little bit jittery because I had too much Defender coffee today, and it wasn't that it was, I don't know, it wasn't weird. Sometimes, Brad, I can drink 3, 4, 5 cups of coffee. It doesn't bother me. This morning I had two, and I was, where's the water? Where's the water? Where's the anti-coffee stuff? Can we take some anti-coffee stuff? You know, I got kind of jittery. But please visit all of our great sponsors. I promise you, you won't go wrong. They're the best of the best. That's why they're here. Brad, let's go to Tennessee. I'm going to read a text that you sent to me. Let me actually go to my phone here while I've got you on here. And this is fun because I was not anticipating doing this, but I love this. You shot me a text this morning that said, good news in Tennessee. And then if I open that up without deleting it, let's see. It was a post from Supertalk 99.7 in Tennessee. And I've got an article up here about it. It's A.W.R. Hawkins from Breitbart wrote about it. Tennessee Gov rallying support for permitless defensive handgun carry. What's Bill Lee doing in Tennessee?
Doing great things. Affirming our rights to defend ourselves without making us have to pay for it beforehand.
16 states.
Mm-hmm.
And if this works out, you're going to be 17. You might even be 18. Because this permitless carry, this constitutional carry is, you know, and you think, let's think about that. You get 18 states out of 50 states. You're looking at a third of the nation already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this number is continuing to rise. 16 states currently have permitless carry or constitutional carry, as is often called. On March 12th, Breitbart News, this is back in 19, reported those 16 states, and here they are: Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, Mississippi, Missouri, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming. The Tennessean is reporting that Lee is adding his voice to the chorus of those calling for permitless carry in the volunteer state. Anyone 21 or over can lawfully carry a firearm in the state of Tennessee, just like you can when you go to Arizona or any of those other states. And here's the fun part, Brad. AWR reminds us you have a supermajority, Republicans, in both the Tennessee House and the Senate chambers, that permitless carry is virtually assured passage. That's got to make you feel pretty good, right?
Oh, it makes me feel great. This has been something that's been discussed in Tennessee for at least the last couple of years, for sure. And I didn't know that the governor was going to take this up, but I'm glad he did, and I think he's making the right move.
Do we know what sparked him to do this? Is this coming from one of the chambers? Is it coming from grassroots, or is it just the governor saying, hey, man, we need to do this for the betterment of our law-abiding citizens and to help lower crime in Tennessee?
I get the sense that it came straight from the governor. Recently, they're passing bills here that are kind of changing. They were changing up the system for a carry permit, and that you can now do the class online. And there's a few other tweaks they made to it, and it just seems like they've just decided to say, you know what, like, we're just going to throw all that out too because it's too confusing. We don't need it. They are still going to offer permits, so you can still carry in states with reciprocity with Tennessee.
Right.
But they're going to do away with the fees involved with getting the permit, which I think is also great because, my philosophy on this is, we decided, the Supreme Court decided a long time ago that things like literacy tests and poll taxes were unconstitutional to prevent people from exercising the right to vote. That's what they were being used for. Well, making somebody pay to get permission to exercise a constitutional right of self-defense and carrying a firearm, it, to me, is no different than a poll tax. It's unconstitutional.
It's the same thing. I mean, you could go back to the original racist roots of gun control. Look, let's say, you know, you want to put it like a poll tax or something like that to keep people away. Mm-hmm. Here in Georgia, mm-hmm. we had that ridiculous public gathering law that it took 140 plus years for Republican control of both chambers in Georgia and the governor's mansion to finally rid the state of that. And it was originally, mm-hmm. One of the most horrific Jim Crow laws I've ever seen that was specifically sure. designed to keep free blacks from arming themselves and being in a group, God forbid if they did, after Reconstruction or during Reconstruction in post-Civil War Georgia. So, you know, these are hideous laws that have nowhere on the books. Free man ought not be debarred the use of arms. It's that simple. Period. You should be able to carry a firearm and you do not need to seek permission. I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it again. But I don't know, Brad. You correct me if I'm wrong, brother. The Second Amendment, last time I read it, did not say a well-regulated militia, which, by the way, listener, is you. You're the well-regulated militia. That means well-trained, running like a Swiss watch, a well-regulated clock. That's what it meant in Oxford English. That's what it means to this day. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed as long as you pay for the permit, get a class certified by the National Rifle Association that the state has determined is acceptable for their acceptance to make sure that you can, in fact, keep and bear arms. I don't remember seeing that anywhere, Brad.
Yeah, it's not in there. Just kind of like it's not, the word musket is not in there. you know, it's fairly plain English, in my opinion. I don't, you know, people want to try to parse words and make it, chop it up and make it mean something that it clearly does not say. And, you know, I assume that there's probably going to be some pushback from somewhere in Tennessee. We do have very few Democrats in the state that are in state government that, you know, probably has something to say about it. But, you know, I expect that, you know, maybe the Moms Demand Action group might try to say yeah. something about it. And it's always going to be doomsday, you know, back when, you know, was in the 90s when a lot of states were switching over from may issue to shall issue on carry permits. And, you know, the doomsdays, like, oh, it's going to be like the Old West again. People walking around with guns right. everywhere, shooting each other in the streets. And, you know, a few years later, it's like, oh, well, you know what? Like, crimes committed with guns continues to go down. It's at an all-time low in our country right now.
Yeah, it is.
People don't sense that because they're being, you know, fear-mongered and believing otherwise. Yeah. But you know what, like Kentucky, I was just in Kentucky last month fishing, permitless carry up there. And guess what? The sky is still up in Kentucky. It did not fall.
You mean it's you know? Kentucky is still there. Hey, listen, you know,
it's still there. There's not dead people everywhere. It's a beautiful state.
People don't have to put their Jeeps up on big risers and lift kits because they have to drive through rivers of blood. You know, they need to retract these stories. It's crazy. Listen, we'll close the show out with this. Dana Lash, I saw a tweet and I just happened to see it when I was thumbing through on my phone on Twitter yesterday. Some random person had shot her a tweet that said, so tell me, Dana, what kind of guns were there at the time the Second Amendment was written? And Dana's response was brilliant. Oh, weapons of war. Did you see that?
Yes.
Weapons of war was her response. Mm-hmm. Weapons of war. She's 100% correct on that. Hey, Brad, thanks for being here again today. We're going to be hearing a lot more from you. I'm sure you and I'll be making some announcements in the coming days. I'm looking forward to having you back on just as soon as we can. Leadslingerswhiskey.com. Make sure to check them out. Remember, I'm going to get up and do it all over again tomorrow because they don't want me to and because I can and because we have to. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you on the radio.